Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Buyers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists, getting you ready for your second life.
The last time I spoke to our next guest, he had just released, I don't know when he finished it, his first novel. Since then, he's up to nearly three, which isn't bad work in the amount of available time since we last spoke. To give him his full title, which I just enjoy doing, he is Sir Thomas William Shakespeare, 3rd Baronet Shakespeare of Lakenham, CBE. Sir Thomas, good morning.
Good morning to you.
I very much enjoy using your title. I know you don't, but I very much enjoy it.
I know you do, but you're right. I never use it. I'm always Tom to anybody who passes.
It's a good one, though. And I read, apparently, that it is likely that there are no heirs beyond your brother. Is that right?
Well, it would probably be my brother or his son, Edward, who would inherit, yeah.
Oh, good. But it will continue into perpetuity.
I think so. As long as people in our family have children, male children, I mean, that's the whole point. You have to be married and it has to be a male. And I don't think that's right in this day and age.
Well, no, it is something of an anachronism. And particularly given that it's a relatively new title, it was only created in the 40s, wasn't it?
It was. My grandfather's a member of Churchill's government, and then he was reshuffled out. And I think probably a Labour a minister came in, and as a sort of consolation prize, he was made a baronet, which is great for him, and it was good for my dad, who knew him well, of course, and less good for me because it's just a bit embarrassing. I don't agree with inheritance. I don't think we should have a king. I think we should have a president like Ireland, because, you know, that we get behind the president. And I was recently, over Christmas, I was at a performance of Messiah, and the seats in front of me were clear, and then in came the king, and with his guards, his close protection officers, who I'm afraid were very bored by Messiah. And at the end, he clapped the performers, and that was nice of him. And then he turned to us, and we all clapped him. And I thought, why are we clapping him? I was not clapping.
Have you ever seen the pictures of Ronan O'Gara or Cillian Murphy meeting the British royals?
I have not, but I will seek them out. Are they funny?
You will like this because, of course, you made the odd choice to study Celtic matters in Cambridge.
Yes,
so you have an affinity towards things Irish. You will remember that I'm sure you probably know this, but there was an instruction given by the Black and Tans, particularly in Munster, that they were to shoot any man with hands in his pockets because he might be armed. So a lot of Munster people, when meeting the royals, they would be tremendously friendly, but they keep the hands jammed in the pockets.
Okay, I will bear that in mind. I would always be friendly to anybody, whether they're king or a pauper, as it were. But I don't see why it should clap. And I think keeping your hands in your pocket is a good watchword.
Talk to me about, because by the way, I should say, for people unfamiliar, you are a researcher into the area of disability rights. You are a former stand-up comic, and you are now a successful novelist. You were previously just a debut novelist when I spoke to you the last time, but now you're a successful novelist.
I think when you're writing a third, you might be called successful. But successful would be a bestseller, and I'm not yet that. One day, maybe.
No, Tom, you need to set a lower bar. If you get recommissioned by the publisher, you're successful.
That would be good. Yes, that would be very exciting. I had a 2-book deal, and my editor said, take as long as you like over the third book. I thought, how nice of her to say that. And then I realised what they really meant was, we won't sell enough of the first and second book to make it worth our while commissioning you for a third.
Do you enjoy? I remember reading a quote from I think it was Dorothy Parker, who said that she didn't enjoy writing, but she enjoyed having written. Do you like the actual act of churning out tens of thousands of words?
I like the word counter, which tells you how many words you have. I like it ticking over the next 10,000. That's very good. No, I like writing. Right, and you talked about stand up. I did a stand up set back in December at the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols for Robin Innes. And people laughed and clapped. I thought, that's very nice. I thought, what will I do with these words? And I thought, I know, I'll give them to my character. So I get two, as it were, benefits out of it.
Well, that's interesting, because I'm always intrigued at whether or not it is easy to use verbal stand-up material in print, because I know that Stuart Lee does it a lot. Like, he will write jokes for print that he will often then co-opt into his stand-up. I wasn't sure if it lent itself easily to it, but you can just use it for print.
I think so. The readers will be judged of that. And in fact, at the stand-up evening I was at, Stuart Lee was very good, and he was just ahead of me. So he was great. I thought, I'm in good company. And they laughed, and I thought, well, if they think I'm funny, I will give this to my character. And I might make my character even more like me, a disability actress who's a bit cross to the world. And I thought that would be a great way to go. And it's very funny. I think it's very funny. But the readers will be the judge.
Have you seen Stuart Lee's, on the topic of royals, have you seen Stuart Lee's bit on Prince Andrew?
No, I have not.
Oh,
I should
Tom.
Do that too. You give me a list, Anton. You give me a whole list to revise.
Well, for this afternoon, trust me, it's only about a 6-minute piece. You'll enjoy it immensely.
Okay. And let me tell you that I'm doing Ready for a Good Read on Tuesday, which is not interesting to you or your listeners, but I'm doing At Soon Two Birds by Flann O'Brien, because I think it's both, obviously, lots of Celtic legends in there, and also lots of satire, and I like both.
Did you say you were reading it, what are you doing with it?
It's a radio show called A Good Read, and each of the participants has to nominate a book for the others to read. And I've nominated At Soon Two Birds by Flann O'Brien.
Oh, very good. And do you think they will, it's one of those where I suspect people will say, for Flann O'Brien, you kind of need to be Irish to get it.
Now, I wonder about that. You certainly need to love Ireland, and you need to love the Irish language and the legends and so forth. I wonder whether you actually, probably it would be better if you were Irish. You would understand more. But I enjoy it, I assure you.
What about The Poor Mouth?
The poor Mouth, I've read that, yes. Not in Irish, in English, of course, but it was great. And it's very funny. And the idea of this man from this boy from the Geldach grade 2 school, and what is your name? And he gives his name at great length, and he said, your name is James O'Donnell. And he realizes that all the boys from the Geldach are called James O'Donnell.
Did you do any Irish when you were studying? Because you did sort of, it was Celtic studies as part of your degree, wasn't it?
I did Old English, but Old Irish is very, very difficult. So I'm afraid I did not. So I have to turn to an Irish friend for the pronunciation, which is very difficult and very not obvious.
You waded through Old English?
I did. Waded through the Anglo-Saxon Chronicles and King Alfred's prologue to Boethius and all that. I learned it, and I'm not good at languages, but I did learn it.
And what is it? What's the classic? Is it The Dream of the Rood is the one that is sort of the central?
Dream of the Rood, yes. Would you believe it? A wooden screen thinks about Jesus and so forth. It's improbable at the best. But the riddles were very good. The extra riddle book was great. And useful and interesting.
It's hard yards. So wasn't that what was Tolkien a professor of Old English? Was that what Tolkien's background
Tolkien was? Tolkien was a philologist, and so, for example, he uses Irish. I think he used English. He used Old English, and he uses riddles, particularly in Gollum. What do I have in my pockets, please?
Do you know what thing?
Can't answer it.
Here's the thing that I only discovered recently, Tom. Do you know about the... he had to revise the description of Gollum because of the original illustrations in the first editions of his book?
I did not know that. I did not know that.
Apparently he didn't specify that he was small. He was a hobbit who had gone tangential to the hobbit norm.
He'd gone to the dark side, definitely, yeah.
And an illustrator drew him as a giant.
But I wouldn't be surprised if he revised a lot of things. And the idea of the Dark Riders, you remember in Tolkien, the Nazgul, I think they were very like, it was at the time of the Second World War. And the idea of the world being at the mercy of a dark force, I think is very relevant to him at that time.
Is it what? A text saying, Anton, I'm listening to Tom. Am I correct in thinking he is a medical doctor? I don't think you're a medical doctor. I think you're one step removed.
I'm not a medical doctor.
Your dad was a medical doctor, though, wasn't he?
My dad was. My dad was. But I am a doctor of philosophy, if you like, a PhD. And I'm very interested in disability research and in bioethics and things like that. You know, you could say anybody could be, and I'm glad they could be, but they'd have to read a lot.
Well, on the topic of the latter with the disability research, it's one of the things that I've always... Is there a generalised theme in what nations get wrong in terms of... dealing with sounds pejorative, but as does catering too, because it sounds patronising. But you know what I mean?
I think there is a common failing, which is that they talk the talk, but they do not walk the walk. So they say, we'll arrange this, we'll arrange that, we'll arrange the other. But they don't. And so disabled people get left stuck on buses or trams or trains or planes, or, you know, they can't access the building because it doesn't work and nobody's thought of it. I remember going to see some ghost stories being told, and it was great. And I went with a hard of hearing person who depended on her hearing aids and on the loop for working. And, of course, the loop did not work. So she was sitting there, and I was hearing the ghost stories, and she was not. And we complained. And they said, well, look, you're holding up everybody else, go away, basically. And I did not think that was appropriate.
No, you can sing it. Tom, when are we going to see the third novel? When is it going to emerge?
Well, I've written half of it. So I'm going to, as I said to you, I've given a stand up to my hero. I need to write the second half of it, I think. I think probably by midsummer I'll have finished it, and then it'll be up to the publishers to bring it out. But I can tell your listeners that the second book is now on audio, and it's a very good reading, a very good performance of it. So I would heartily recommend that for them if they were on, I don't know, if they're doing the ironing. I don't know why they're doing the ironing. Or if they were going for a long walk with the dog and they wanted an audio book, why not try the end?
Tom, you're a gent. Lovely to talk to you. That is Tom Shakespeare.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.